Hello, Munchers, and welcome to Monday Movie Munching Madness. This is your co-host, Michael, reminding you, as always, that this podcast contains spoilers, and the movie we'll be spoiling this week is Detroit. So if you haven't seen the latest Catherine Bigelow blockbuster, listen to one of our other podcasts, or go see it so you can enjoy this one. And now on with our show.
Hello, and welcome to Monday Movie Munchie Madness. I'm Nick Owen, and with me, you're practicing for a Motown band, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. I haven't figured out which range I am, though.
Yeah, I think you're a Larry.
Right? You think I'm a Larry? Yeah. What range was he? I think I might be a bass.
Yeah.
Those guys seem pretty cool.
Sure. Before we get into the movie, I know you wanted to repeat last week's Trailer Talk segment.
Ooh, Trailer Talk! Yeah, I was a big fan of Trailer Talk. I think the name's catchy. I think it could be a segment that we could really sink our teeth into, if you will.
Yeah, tell me about these trailers we saw today.
Boy, you might have to jog my memory a little bit. I remember Josh Brolin fighting fire.
Yeah, the Miles Teller movie.
Okay, so I wasn't hallucinating that.
No.
All right. That one looked pretty intense.
Sure. I don't know. I forget what it's called, but it's Josh Brolin, Miles Teller.
Yeah. It's called, like, There Will Be Fire.
Yeah,
But that's not it. It's called, like, Fireline or something. Looks pretty intense, though. And it looks based on a true story, I believe.
Yeah.
From what I gathered.
Yeah. I've only seen that trailer, like, twice.
Yeah, that was my first time.
That was your first time?
Yeah.
That's nice.
A lot of intensity from Josh Brolin, a lot of fire, a lot of smoke. Definitely looks like a real thrill.
How about the Mother trailer?
Oh, the Mother. Man, that weirded me out.
Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence.
I was like, oh, Jennifer Lawrence. And then I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
It's very weird.
It looks extremely weird.
Yeah. It's like a horror film of some kind.
Yeah. What's the director's name? Aaron Skar. Something like that.
What has he directed before?
Rec Room for a Dream and Black Swan.
Right, so he's got some weird stuff under his belt already.
Yeah, I like Black Swan.
Yeah, and Rec Room for a Dream is gritty, but it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm sure this will be... I don't know, it looks good. I mean, it looks like horror, which usually isn't my cup of tea.
I don't want to spoil the schedule bacon here, but it's on the schedule.
Oh, it's on the schedule? Watch out.
Yeah, you get a Jennifer Lawrence movie. I'm going to put it on the schedule.
Oh, yeah. I'll watch any Jennifer Lawrence movie.
Another thing is Domhnall season approaching.
What?
The American Made trailer.
Oh, my God.
Tom Cruise. Domhnall Gleeson.
Man. I know you've got a theory. What's the theory?
Domhnall Gleeson doesn't make bad movies.
That's the theory.
I think it's proven.
Yeah.
Up to this point.
Yeah, we'll see. Tom Cruise generally doesn't make good movies, so we'll see how that plays out.
No, but he makes entertaining movies.
He does.
Yeah.
He does. He's been on a real slide lately, though, so maybe this will pull him out of the ditch.
Sure. What else? I feel like there's something that I've seen a bunch already.
Yeah, the first one was... what's the race car driver one?
Oh, Logan Lucky.
Logan Lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That looks good.
Yeah. So, and that's on the schedule for sure. So I know we're looking forward to that. Who's joining us for that one?
We don't want to spoil everything.
But we do have a special guest for Logan Lucky. So watch out for that in the next few weeks.
A couple movies I was out on. The Foreigner, Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe an HBO movie for me.
Yeah. I don't want to watch a Rush Hour movie without Chris Tucker.
No. Yeah.
Just seems
it's
like...
It's unfair.
Yeah. It's not cool.
I don't know. I don't remember the other.
I think that was it. That's a lot of trailers.
There's like seven or eight.
Yeah, there were
time.
A lot of trailers.
Yeah,
it was one of those
we're
movies.
We're missing something. Oh, there was one that I'm definitely out on. It said like CBS Films, and then like
not
the whole
sign.
Thing just seemed like a terrible CBS show.
Yeah, jog my memory. What was it about?
I don't know. Was it the Keats one?
Oh, yeah.
But
wait,
no,
that's American
like a,
Assassin.
Yeah.
That's Michael Keaton. So yeah. Are you out on American Assassin?
I think I might be.
Yeah, it looked
It just seemed
awful.
It was produced like it was a bad CBS show.
Okay.
I saw those CBS films and then immediately...
It opens with like the beach scene and it's like the girlfriend in the white bikini, which first of all, white bikinis, you never see those in real life. That right there shows
that
it's
true?
A cheesy movie.
Girl in white bikinis?
I mean, I'm sure they exist somewhere. I've never seen one in real life.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway, so girl in the white bikini on the beach, you know, it looks fake already. It looks fake. Then she gets shot or whatever, and then the boyfriend turns into the world's greatest assassin trained by Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Like, God.
And then Tim Riggins comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, and then
he's the bad guy.
It's
right?
Keaton versus Riggins. And,
yeah.
I mean, if I wanted that much cheese, I would just bought nachos. Huh?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I'm out on that one. It certainly won't be good. But we haven't seen Tim Riggins for a while.
No. I think he's going to be in a couple of movies coming out pretty soon. There's another one I don't remember.
Wasn't he in some big Disney flop about space or something?
Yeah, what was it?
Like
John Carter.
Yeah, John Carter. It was so bad they bought Star Wars. Yeah, John Carter was so bad Disney bought
called?
Star Wars.
It was called John Carter.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah,
what a horrible name for a space movie.
Yeah.
They should have called it Tim Riggins in Space.
Yeah,
and
everyone
would have watched it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Detroit.
Yeah, I think that's it for trailer talk. Pew, pew. Detroit. I would love to get you're off the bat.
Off the bat.
How'd you feel?
Last time, or I projected a 7. And I feel as if I want to give it a 7. Very intense movie. It was a little long for me, but just the way it made me feel was kind of just made me feel like John Boyega at the end of the movie when he goes outside and pukes out of the courthouse. That's how I felt watching this movie.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I predicted a 5 for this movie. Just to give you my score right off the bat, I'm going to give it a 4. I'll explain through the podcast why I'm dropping it.
Please.
Yeah, I felt like I was being tortured for 8 hours, because I think the runtime is 8 hours on this movie.
Yeah,
maybe 12. It's long.
I don't think it was that long, but
it certainly feels long.
I think it came in what, 2.5?
Yeah,
total.
Yeah, I think 2.5 is,
which we've talked at length before. We've talked for more than 2.5
but
hours,
but there's time and then there's like movie time. You know, there's like the amount of time you actually spend in life watching the film, and then there's the amount of time you felt like you spent watching the film. This one, the movie time, is definitely longer than
possibly lost
time.
A couple of years of my life watching that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell me how you felt. You obviously...
Yeah, I just... Here's the thing.
Not like it. Not going to return to it.
I never want to see that movie again.
And the same thing with me. I don't want to see it again either.
Yeah. I'm glad I saw it. That's why I'm not giving it a 0 or a 2. Like, I'm glad I saw it.
Yeah.
But I never want to see that movie again.
Yeah,
that's not really a sign of a great movie.
No. Not
like,
exactly.
It was well done, but man, she does that sort of director style, like handy cam sort of deal, like throughout the entire film. So
yeah.
The camera is always fucking moving, and it's like bouncing and like shifting and like as if it's in someone's hands.
Well,
it's
similar to Hurt Locker. She uses
loves that.
She has like 3 or 4 cameras constantly surrounding the whole scene.
Yeah.
So you get like these constantly moving angles, like the cameras are constantly moving around.
Yeah. So it feels like it was shot on like it would be on the news or something like that, where it's like very fly, like on the fly, sort of like we just got here with some cameras and this is all
someone's cell phone.
Yeah, a cell phone camera or something. So it feels, I mean, the feel of the movie is very realistic.
Yeah.
Certainly not. I mean. I wouldn't really say boring. Like the action sort of carries through the whole movie. I think
it
stalls a little bit, like during the torture scenes.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Not too much.
I felt like the actors were kind of running out of steam at one point. Like that main, the main guy, the main like super racist, like the most racist out of, I'll get his name.
Yeah, the disgustingly racist.
Krause.
Cop.
Yeah, the most disgustingly racist of the cops.
Yeah.
I feel like he was really like, his energy was kind of dwindling during that drawn out scene of them like torturing the people in the hotel room.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he gets to the point where he's just like, well, we gotta get out of here.
Yeah, yeah, finally.
Let's wrap this up.
Yeah, just pick one of them and make him confess and we'll get out of here.
Yeah, he mentions, he's just like, well, let's just wrap this up and get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that point where he's kind of running out of steam, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But how about the part, I mean, where it stalls for me is that all of a sudden this becomes a courtroom drama for 20 minutes.
There was a point in the movie, and it was like right after when it was clear that this was going to go to trial. Mm-hmm. I was like, please don't show us the whole courtroom. Like, please don't go through the trial.
Well, once John Krasinski shows up, you know that he's got way more.
I was like, why are they bringing John Krasinski into the last 1 minute of this film? And then it's like, oh, no, that means there's another hour left.
Yeah, that's how it felt. Just as the movies kind of wrap it up, it seems like there's the resolution to...
I could see going through the resolution if there's going to be some big sort of like reveal at the end where it's like, oh, they actually put the cops in jail.
No, it's just like everyone's still
but
racist.
But it's like, no, everyone's still racist, and it's exactly what you thought it was going to be.
Yeah. So I think in that sense, what if they would have just cut the movie as they shot that last guy?
Yeah.
Did you need anything after that?
I didn't need anything after that.
Yeah.
No. Maybe if they just had
you would
John Boyega puking in the bushes as the last scene.
Yeah.
So
that would, yeah.
They just show, okay, here's, okay, let's, I feel like I'm kind of going in reverse here because we just watched the movie, but I kind of want to get into just the choice of Catherine Bigelow to direct this film.
Okay. What did this feel like to you? Like, who did you expect should have directed this?
I don't know. It felt almost, I want to say apologetic, and I'm not really sure why, but I think it was because, like, a white woman was directing this film.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost, like, too extreme. Like, and it could vary. This very well could have been how it was in real life. I'm sure it probably wasn't too far from the truth because they were, obviously, it says at the end they interviewed the people who were there. But they also said a lot of it was like dramatized.
Yeah, based off of witness testimonies and you know, that kind of
and
documents.
They sort of filled in the blanks where they had to. But like the cop was like so racist. And then the people at the hotel were so innocent that it was almost like, okay, I'm sure there's got to be like one of the cops had a little compassion. Like one of the people at the hotel had been kind of an asshole.
Yeah. So
it was like,
let me ask you a question.
It's too black and white, if you will.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question that you might be able to clear up for me. So the beginning of the movie or towards the beginning, the super racist, Cross, right?
Right. Cross. Yeah. Which sounds like a Nazi name.
Exactly. And he had a Nazi attitude.
Sure did.
He shoots the looter.
Yes.
Running away from him, right? Yeah. And then he goes in to talk to the detective, and the detective says, I'm recommending murder charges.
Yeah.
But go back to work.
Yeah.
How does that work?
The same way where they bring him up on murder charges and it gets dismissed by the judge.
But
the
he should have had like two murder charges against him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the guy's racking up murder charges the whole movie. And he's just out there
to work as a cop this whole time.
And the homicide detective was like, he hated him because he was a bad cop. But yeah, he doesn't actually do anything to stop. I don't get that at all.
Yeah.
You think it would have been like, no, like you're going on like unpaid leave.
Probably go
whatever.
Home
yeah.
and don't shoot any more people.
Yeah.
Not get back out there. And
he's basically a serial killer.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a serial killer.
He was.
He just had a cop uniform on. So
yeah.
I said basically instead, which is why what got us into this whole mess in the first place.
Sure.
Guys like Krause. But yeah, I was just as surprised as you were. I thought he was going to be like, we'll chalk that one up to, you didn't eat breakfast this morning. But it was like, no, I'm recommending murder charges. And then it was get back to work.
Yeah, it does not make sense.
No, not at all.
And I wonder, I mean, that couldn't have actually happened that way, right?
The thing is, I don't know. It's really, it's hard to tell. Because that's kind of where I feel like the Catherine Bigelow comes into the movie where, yes, her style of shooting this movie was right for the story, But I know that she had hesitations about being a white woman telling this story because I saw an interview with her about it. Mm-hmm. And she said that, you know, she basically tried to do it as much justice as she can, and she was happy with, but I, you can tell, like, there are definitely hangups. So I think she really wanted to show that, like, these cops could literally get away with murder, which I think is what that scene was all about. Where it's like, they know, they acknowledge
he murdered
someone.
Yeah.
But he went right back out on the street. And I think that was maybe her way of doing it. It probably could have been done better.
Yeah.
I almost wish that instead of trying to make the cops like these evil caricatures, like, that it would have been someone with, like, a little more disdain for the police would have done this. Because I think instead of saying, well, I'm recommending you for murder charges, have him be like high-fiving or something about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I wish it had gone, like, if you're going to go that direction, like, just go that direction and just dig in.
Silly with it?
Yeah, just get evil with it.
Yeah.
And I think that would have made it a little bit more interesting. Rather than, like, some cops are good. It was like, some cops are good. Like, this guy's heart was in the right place.
This detective was good.
Yeah, even the guy who was... one of the cops who went into the other room, he was supposed to pretend to shoot one of the captors.
Yeah, and he actually shoots him.
They made that guy seem like innocent for like not understanding that they were playing a game.
Yeah.
Right?
But he was like, still a racist cop that.
Yeah, no, shot he's innocent. Guy. He doesn't shoot the guy.
Yeah.
He goes, wait, you want me to actually. He asks a question or he just doesn't do it because he's actually got a heart.
He had made him seem like he had a heart by like questioning the game.
So like we're supposed to feel bad for him because he shot a guy because he didn't understand they were playing a game. It's like, no, he's a fucking murderer
yeah.
and an asshole.
Yeah.
Just let him be what he is. It's like, I don't know. She was trying to say, the cops were bad, but the cops, they're not all bad.
So, and to go along with your point, there's multiple other people that same situation kind of happens. There's the national, there's the army guy.
Yeah.
Or is he just like, I don't know about this. I think I'm going to leave.
Yeah. He's like, this is cop business.
I don't think I'll like this. Yeah. And then the Michigan State Police, same thing where like a couple of their guys were in the house. They walked out and they're like, yeah, I don't really feel too good about this. Like they're not. Like, they're just beating the suspects.
Yeah, I thought these guys were going to do something about it.
That's what I thought, too. But they're just like, nah, we're going to leave.
Yeah, we're just not going to get involved.
Yeah. But I don't know. Yeah, it just kept happening with multiple people. They're just like, this doesn't seem right, but let's get out of here.
Yeah, so the movie starts, it opens with this history of what happened, how the neighborhoods became segregated in Detroit.
It's like a cartoon.
It's kind of like painted.
Yeah.
Kind of cool, interesting way to tell the story, I thought. And then it drops you into the Detroit riots.
Mm-hmm.
And we got this from the ground look, you know, with the Catherine Bigelow. Everyone's carrying around the cameras and running with them and stuff like that. And just kind of bouncing around and your eyeballs get used to it. It's like you're looking through like you said, like a shot on an iPhone.
It's like a modern day, like you're watching a YouTube video of the Detroit riots, you know?
Exactly. So very realistic, like a YouTube sort of view of it. And then we get all these different, I don't want to call them storylines, but we sort of get views from all different angles of the riot and sort of what's going on. And then at some point, we kind of focus in on John Boyega's character, and that's where the story and the characters start to develop.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like it almost felt like there were three separate movies in this movie. It was like the buildup, which was that history, and then showing the riots from the ground, and then it was starting with the John Boyega's character, Dismukes.
Mm-hmm.
Storyline, and then it was that and the whole torture scene that goes down in the Algiers hotel where they line up all those folks and start like systematically killing them basically and trying to figure out where the gun was. And then you have the trial at the end of the movie, which is like a third
part. Yeah, the courtroom movie.
Yeah, so it kind of felt like it was almost a little bit disjointed in the way that there wasn't like it wasn't like there was characters at the beginning whose character arc carries through to the end.
No, and I think they tried to make it the bands. I think that was trying to be the... Yeah. But even that didn't start until about like a third into the way. Movie.
Yeah.
But I think that's who they wanted to carry the whole movie through, and it just didn't come out that way.
And that was interesting, too, because that... you looked them up, right? That was an actual band.
Yeah. Well, they say that at the end of the movie,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. So that could have been cool. I think if they had opened with the band and then sort of played back through the story with, like, here are your characters. We're going to tell you about them at the end. Because at the end of the movie, they sort of give you the rundown of what happened to people.
To certain people.
And I was like, wait, who is that? Because the names aren't used that often in the movie. And they don't use the pictures of the actors. They use the pictures of the real people.
The real person.
So I was like, wait, who's Dismukes? Yeah. And I was like, oh, wait, that must have been John Boyega's character, the security guard. But they don't really make that clear.
They mention him a couple of times in the movie, but...
Yeah, but there's not, like, there are a lot of characters. And
there's
like
a lot of characters, exactly.
You said, like, the band were kind of the main characters, and he wasn't in the band.
No.
I actually didn't understand why he went with the police. I thought they were going to shoot him or something, because he was only a security guard, you know? But they sort of gave him free rein to, like, carry around prisoners and stuff.
Help out the prisoners.
Yeah, that was weird.
And, the cops never, like, said anything to him. They just kind of, like... Yeah, he looked at him strange.
He just got to leave?
No, the Boyega.
Yeah.
Or Dismukes.
Yeah, what happened to him at the end of that?
No, I'm just saying, like, during the torture scene, they never really question what he's doing or why he's there or anything. Like, they never accuse him of anything.
No, not at all. I thought he was going to be in trouble.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting, like...
They were trying to play up the fact that it was like...
This guy's super racist, but he's not going after the almost cop that is kind of getting in his way.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. I know. It's very weird that he sort of respected that badge, even though he was just like a rent-a-cop.
Yeah.
Like, really? Because you don't seem to respect anything else.
Exactly.
And you're definitely being super racist. And, like, throwing around the N-word, which he sort of started doing midway through the torture scene, which I thought was weird. It's like he got more racist. He sort of switched gears in the middle of the scene. Suddenly he's, like, went from, like, pretty fucking racist to, like, extreme racism.
The most racist.
The most racist that he could be.
Apparently every single person in Detroit in 1967 just, like, constantly smoking chain smoking cigarettes.
Everyone in every single
How many?
Has
over
cigarette.
Under, like, 150 cigarettes lit in this movie.
Yeah.
Just, like, every minute there's just someone else lighting a cigarette, lighting a heater.
It's weird. I'm sure that, like, that's probably pretty accurate for the time period. We get it.
There's so many heaters.
So many heaters.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was. I feel like they're doing that more and more in movies, especially with, like, period pieces, I think, because smoking's almost become, like, a relic of the past. Like, you don't see people... I don't know, in California anyway, you don't see people smoking that much anymore. So I think when it's just smoke everywhere, it's, like, a sort of their way of transporting
you. You would think from California, too, it's just, like, people don't want... to be promoting cigarette use.
No, exactly. No, I'm with you, and I get exactly what you're saying.
Even the prisoners are just sitting there with their hands looking against the wall, but they're all got cigarettes lit on their fingers.
Yeah, at one point I was like...
Not really.
When they show... what was the name of the band?
I don't know, like the Distractors or something like that.
The Distractions.
That's not right.
The Disasters.
No. I don't know.
The Dismembers.
The
Disputes. The Demerits.
No. The Dramatics.
Oh, the Dramatics.
Yeah.
So at one point, Larry was the singer.
Yeah, he was like the lead singer.
Who was like the guy who got killed? Was that?
He was, like, not in the band because he was, like, he, like, shook. Is that their manager or something?
So he shows up. So that's the thing I'm talking about. The manager of the band shows up for that first performance when they introduce the band.
But he's late. Why does that matter?
He's running late. Yeah, he's late for the performance. It doesn't matter. He's not performing. I was like, why isn't he putting his costume on?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So, he's not actually in the band. But they're all mad at him for being late anyway. And he's like, oh, I, like, had to get bread. No, he was working. But he had somehow time to stop for cigarettes. I was like, this guy's smoking now? It's like, how did he have time to get cigarettes but he doesn't have time to make it to the band practice on time?
I don't mean to take this lightly anyway, but I mean, if they just all got together with their love for cigarettes, everyone might have gotten along.
Yeah, it's true.
Just get in a circle and all start smoking cigarettes.
Seemed to be the one thing that everyone could enjoy in this movie.
Yeah.
Really pervasive. It's weird. It was weird.
How did you feel about some of the actors in this movie? Like, Boyega, I think, was pretty good.
Yeah, it was okay. I think the only actor I didn't like was Will Poulter, the Krause character.
You didn't like him.
That guy looks like he's 12.
Yeah.
It was really odd.
And just, like, the only thing I've ever seen him in is We Are the Millers, right?
I recognize him.
He played that goofy-looking kid.
Yeah, he's... I didn't see We Are the Millers, so I don't know what I've seen him in. Son of Rambo? War Machine? Oh, War Machine, that's like a...
Is that Brad Pitt Netflix movie?
Oh, well, never mind. I thought that was a... Is it Iron Man's?
No. Well, I think War Machine is the...
War Machine. Yeah. Cleaver Grimsey. Oh, The Maze Runner.
That must have been the only
thing I've seen him in. Why have I seen The Maze Runner, you ask? I don't actually know. But I definitely saw it at one point.
I wasn't going to ask, but I was wondering.
Yeah. It was awful, in case you're... I'm sure you already know that.
You're a big Hunger Games guy, so I think that's you probably...
I was hungry for more Hunger Games, and so I started watching the Maze Runner movies, and it's just, no.
And he probably wasn't very good about
it. It's just not a good movie. It's like a worse Hunger Games.
Sure.
That makes less sense than ever.
Like the Divergence also.
This guy acts a lot. He's in a lot of stuff. But he looks like he's like a 6'5", 12-year-old kid. Who's just super racist and has weird eyebrows that are distracting.
The eyebrows are very distracting.
He just looks...
It's alright for a goofy kid in We Are the Millers, but... He wasn't really an intimidating cop.
Not at all. Not intimidating, not... Yeah, and I feel like he kept running out of steam, like I said, in these films where he's supposed to be, like, super... Like, we needed someone to get Josh Brolin intense.
Yeah.
And what we got was, like, a 12-year-old really trying his hardest.
Yeah.
He must be family friends with Catherine Bigelow or something. Who knows how he got this part, but... What did you think of some of the casting, though? Because I thought everyone else, I'm trying to think through... Yes, I think everyone else was great. John Boyega was super John Boyega. I can't wait till the first...
John Krasinski was pretty corny.
Yeah, he was corny.
They tried to make him this, like, badass lawyer, but he was just super racist.
Yeah.
I don't know.
His defense was bad. Didn't you... I don't know. I feel like...
It seemed bad.
It seemed bad, but he was very...
He's just
convincing.
Like, oh, you're a criminal, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's just trying to get the racist jury to...
Yeah, the all-white jury.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. That whole part, like I said, we didn't need the courtroom drama.
No. No, not at all. I don't know. It's hard to put my finger on what bothered me the most about this movie.
Yeah.
Because it was so, like... She makes such convincing scenes. Like, all of the riot scenes, the first third of the movie, I felt like I could have been watching some, you know, colorized footage of the actual riots or something like that.
Well, there was some footage, right?
A little bit of that, yeah.
I know there was definitely, like, still pictures.
Yeah.
But I couldn't... I don't know if... It was actual footage from the riots or, like,
there some
stuff they were trying to make.
Newscasters or something, weren't there? Didn't they have some newscasts or something? Yeah.
But was that actual footage or maybe they were just trying to make it look like...
Maybe. I'm not
that's
sure.
A thing, right?
Yeah, I didn't know about... I didn't really know the history of the Detroit riots, so it's hard to say. I can't say, like...
Yeah.
I've seen that stuff before.
In the torture scenes, I thought there was going to be a lot more raping.
Yeah. It seems like that. They sort of teased the rape.
Yeah.
Which is not a comfortable thing to sit through.
It was not a good look.
Not at all.
I'm glad there wasn't.
Yeah, me too. It was weird. Yeah, they just use that as like another excuse to get super racist.
Yeah.
And like, I get it. The movie's about like race relations and things like that. I was wondering at the beginning of the movie, like how a movie like this fits in a time like we're experiencing right now. You know?
Well, I think the Ferguson riots actually inspired Kathryn Bigelow to like dig up the story. And,
interesting.
Yeah. That's why I think, like, I mean, she used it in her locker, so, but the whole camera thing, I feel like, I don't know.
I get it. There's definitely a use for it.
And, yeah.
But, man, she uses it the entire movie. It's like, mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, those movies are just kind of tough to watch when you're always moving around.
Yeah.
Like that.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
It feels like you're filming it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do this. There's no establishing shots for this movie. Right at the beginning, right after that, the whole painted and you're reading and all that stuff, it throws you right into like a two shot of a couple of cops, and it's like, oh, we're here now. It reminded me of like playing a video game where you start as the character, mm-hmm. and you sort of have to like explore your surroundings to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
But most movies will start with an establishing shot where they show the city. Like, we knew it was Detroit, obviously, but they'll show like where you are, and they'll show the time period, and they'll establish the story so that you're
this. You just show up on the street.
You're just there,
ready to go.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, your heart's already going all of a sudden, yeah. And then with the camera angles, the handheld camera stuff, it's like, oh man, I guess we're in this. Here we go. Put your seatbelts on. I wish somebody had put on this fasten seatbelt sign a little sooner. So we're in this thing now.
Yeah, it's turbulence already.
Exactly. Yeah, the energy of the movie is undeniable. And I feel like the only times the energy levels go down at all are when the 12-year-old playing the Nazi cop sort of sputters out during his scene where he's just like, she's probably yelling at him, be more racist. And he's just like, oh, I guess we're using the N-word now.
Yeah.
Like in the middle of shooting that scene. Like, oh boy, this is uncomfortable for all of us.
I didn't think either of the girls were really that good.
I thought their characters were going to be a bigger part of the story. You know, like they were there, but they weren't, like they were literally just there as like a crutch for more racism.
Yeah.
They didn't really like do anything. I was like, they should have established something in their storyline. All we know about them is they're from Ohio. And sure. one of them's dad was a judge. But it's like, were they prostitutes? Like, I don't think so. I think that was just what they were accusing them of. But she's talking about being a prostitute at the beginning, right? Maybe they were prostitutes?
I don't know. Because that was just like, there's different rooms in that house.
Yeah.
And that was like an annex of the hotel.
Yes.
So it was just like a bunch of people who were staying at the hotel in the annex, just like hanging out together.
Basically, yeah.
I don't think they were prostitutes, but they, like you said, they didn't mention it. Like, yeah. One of the first lines they said was like the idea of exploring
prostitution. So it's like, I mean, it's whatever they wanted. She wanted these characters to be, but like, let us know. Let your audience know. Because I didn't know what to think of. Like, were they too... It's hard. Like, were they two completely innocent bystanders who got dragged into this, and then it made it worse for everybody else because there were white girls in there?
Yeah.
Or was it like...
Are they actual criminals?
Are they actual criminals, and therefore, like, the people they're hanging around with might also actually be criminals?
The people they were criminals. They were hanging out with were criminals.
Yeah.
Except, I mean, they're not, like, not Larry and not Fred.
Yeah, they weren't. They were just singers, a manager.
Yeah, or did they ask them in the courtroom if they were criminals? I don't think so. I mean, one was dead, so they didn't ask him.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think, is Larry the one who stormed out of the courtroom?
Yeah.
I feel like they did ask him.
They did ask
him. And then he was like, am I the one on trial here?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. So he blew up, and then he never goes near a white person for the rest of his life.
Yeah, that's what he quit singing music because
they really hammered that home.
Yeah.
So there wasn't like a good takeaway. There's no resolution in this movie. It's like,
no, even just like, oh, now Larry's racist also.
Yeah, now Larry's racist against white people. So thanks, cops.
Yeah. Thanks, racist cops.
Thanks, racist cops. Because he was going to sing for an audience of all different types of people being in the movie. And now
they shut down that concert. Everyone was having so much fun.
Yeah, it looks like a blast.
Yeah. If they were just, everyone would have been singing, then
yeah,
dancing.
They should have just invited all the people from the streets into the theater.
For song everyone and dance.
Everyone lights up a cigarette and watches the Motown music.
Yeah.
I thought there was going to be something
why
about
it. Why would they shut it down? There's riots outside. Go get out there.
It took them a while on the bus before they reached the riots. So I don't think they were that close.
Yeah.
I mean, they were, right?
Yeah.
They didn't see the riots until they were on the bus for like a couple minutes.
Oh, these people are all having a good time. White people, black people, everyone. But let's shut it down and separate them.
The riots didn't start when they were in the concert. The riots started like, that was like a couple of days into the riots when they're at the concert.
Yeah, that was like day three.
These people knew about the riots before they went to the theater that evening.
Yeah.
So yeah, they should. That was weird. I think the reason they did that was ultimately to show that Larry wasn't racist at the beginning. That was kind of, that sort of served that end.
He was willing to sing in front of anyone before.
Yeah. I didn't see it coming, but I think that might have been why they did that.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense, but.
No.
You kind of make sense.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not my job.
Yeah. It's not.
I shouldn't have to make this stuff up to make it make sense.
You want to talk about next week?
Yeah.
You wrap this up.
Next week is Brigsby Bear.
Yeah. Maybe the Munchers don't quite know about Brigsby Bear. I think.
Why don't you tell them a little bit about it?
Well, it's got our one of our favorite comedians, Kyle Mooney, of Saturday Night Live fame and Good Neighbor YouTube videos. If you haven't seen any of this, just go on YouTube, search Good Neighbor, search Kyle, and
enjoy
yourself. But this is a movie he stars in. He wrote Dave McCray, I think his name is. McCrary or McCray. He's the director, which is Kyle's buddy. He directs some of the Kyle videos. But it stars Mark Hamill. It looks weird. It certainly looks a little weird, but anything with Kyle in, I know we're automatically in.
Yeah, it's a weird sort of big cast, but it's,
Greg Kinnear.
Yeah. Jane Addams, Greg Kinnear. All the way down here, you got Claire Danes.
Oh, wow. Andy Samberg
all the way down here.
Yeah.
So definitely some talent in this movie for sure.
Do you know what it's about?
It's something like, isn't he like, I didn't watch the trailer, but I read a synopsis. He's like adopted kid. He's got a favorite TV show,
which is Brigsby Bear.
Right.
And I think there's like some competition or something that he gets to be Brigsby Bear.
I think he's trying
to star as Brigsby Bear.
Yeah. He's like trying to finish the story. I think Brigsby Bear was like an unfinished television series or something. Mm-hmm. And I think he's trying to finish it because that's like his favorite memory from childhood.
Yeah.
So, hey.
It looks interesting.
The poster kind of puts me off, that weird moon face guy.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
There are going to be weird parts.
Yeah.
But Kyle's a hilarious guy.
Yeah.
It's going to be funny.
I trust Kyle completely. So I will.
We're going to have a couple special guests.
Yes, we sure are.
Very excited for that.
Very excited.
Why don't you give me your prediction?
My prediction for Brigsby Bear is a 7 out of 10 for a brilliant comedy done by one of our favorite comedians.
Yeah, you took my number.
Okay.
But I think we could share it.
We can share
a
number.
Can we share it this week?
Yeah, let's share it.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to go with a 7. There's automatic bias because I love the guy.
Absolutely.
And he's got a solid body of work that is just going to make me laugh just by seeing him.
Yeah, I already want to rewatch this movie and I haven't seen it.
Yeah, exactly.
Until then, follow us on Twitter, MMMMPod.
Actually, real quick, let me ask you this.
Sure.
all of you loyal munchers out there, go on iTunes, give us 5 stars. We need that 5-star rating. We need 3 more ratings, I think, so we could qualify.
Qualify and then for
like,
what?
For like 5 stars.
And oh, just
like
yeah.
5 stars will show up next to our podcast.
Yeah, we want to be that highly rated podcast, so we definitely.
Yeah, so get on there. Give us a review, a 5-star review.
Yeah.
Like we're your Uber driver.
And if we ever get in your Uber, we'll give you 5 stars.
Exactly. But yeah, follow us on Twitter at MMMPod. Follow us on Facebook.
Facebook.com/MMMMMPod.
Yep.
That's 4 M's and pod. And with that.
Yeah, thanks for munching.
Yeah, thanks, munchers. We love you.
I'm Nick Owen.
I'm Michael Brown.
See you later.
Bye.